Chapter 9. Financial News. Your father was furious about your marriage, and nothing I said could change his mind, Dobbin said to George later that day when they were alone. He gave George a letter. This isn't from my father, said George, opening the letter. It's from his lawyer. He read the letter aloud. Dear sir, your father has asked me to inform you that he no longer considers you a member of his family. As a final settlement, he will give you the £2,000 still owed to you from your mother's inheritance. Please do not contact your father in the future about this or any other subject. Yours faithfully, S. Higgs. Oh, Dobbin! How will Amelia and I survive on my army salary and £2,000? Cried George. I still think that once you become a hero, your father will change his mind, said Dobbin. He's just angry that you didn't obey his wishes. What if I die in battle? George said quietly. Amelia won't have much money. Nothing will happen to you, but if it does, I'll be able to help her, Dobbin said. George looked relieved. I'd better go and tell Amelia about this letter, he said. Meanwhile, Rawdon and Becky were getting dressed for dinner and discussing the army's departure for Belgium. Becky, Rawdon said as he buttoned his shirt, what will Amelia do when George leaves with his regiment? I suppose she'll cry for hours, Becky answered. You probably won't cry about me leaving, Rawdon said. I'll have no reason to cry, you silly boy. I'm going with you, said Becky. Many of the wives will go. You won't be in any danger. You're the general's aide, and won't have to go to the front line. And now, Rawdon, dear, don't you think you'd better get the money that George owes you from gambling? Becky smiled to herself, thinking how enjoyable it was to flirt with George while he lost at cards to Rawdon. I must tell you that George and Becky had begun to flirt with each other. He constantly told her how clever and entertaining she was, and she told him how handsome he was. Despite this flirtation, however, Becky was still determined to receive the money George owed her husband. Becky, you see, was rather worried. She and Rawdon had been in Brighton for nearly 2 weeks, and had still not managed to speak to Miss Crawley. When they saw her while they were out walking, she would look away and refuse to speak to them. They had knocked on Miss Crawley's hotel room door several times, but had always received the same message from Miss Briggs. Miss Crawley does not want visitors today. Suddenly Becky had an idea. Rawdon, dear, sit down and write a letter to your aunt. Surely she would like to know that you are going to Europe with your regiment. That's a very good idea, said Rawdon. I'll do it immediately after dinner. No, you'll do it now, Becky insisted. Rawdon sat down at the writing table, took a piece of paper and a pen, and wrote, My dear aunt. He couldn't think of what to write next, so he bit the end of the pen and looked at Becky. Don't worry. I'll tell you what to write, said Becky. Write this. I am soon leaving for a battle in Europe in which I may die.
What?
Rawdon said.
You just told me that I'll be in no danger.
But she doesn't know you won't have to fight, Becky said.
Oh, yes, I see what you mean, said Rawdon.
Rawdon wrote every word that Becky dictated.
I would like to see you once more so that I can say goodbye. You have been kind to me all my life. I am sorry that my marriage to Miss Sharp displeased you. I do not want your money, but I would like your forgiveness. Your loving nephew, Rawdon.
Becky read the letter and said, Fine. It sounds like you wrote it. The sentences are short and simple.
They went to dinner and sent the letter by messenger early the next morning. When Miss Crawley read the letter, she laughed a great deal.
Ha ha! Rawdon didn't write a word of it, Briggs. She said to her companion, "He has never written me a single letter that wasn't full of spelling and grammar mistakes. I'm sure that little governess of his dictated it to him."
Miss Crawley was silent for a few moments and then said,
"Briggs, I think I will see Rawdon."
She sent him a brief note, inviting him to meet her in the park the following day when she took her morning walk. It was a pleasant meeting. They acted as if they had met just the day before, and the reason for Miss Crawley's anger was never mentioned. Rawdon, however, went back to the hotel without the thing that Becky and he had most hoped for, a promise of money. The next day, a letter from Miss Crawley was brought to them at breakfast.
"Dear Rawdon, I wish you a safe journey to Europe and hope that you do not have to see battle. Before you leave, please see my lawyer, Mr. Smythe, in London, who will give you something from me."
Becky and Rawdon were certain this could only mean one thing, money, and they decided to return to London at once.
"How much do you think she's told the lawyer to give me?"
asked Rawdon excitedly in the carriage on the way to London.
"It must be at least £200, maybe even more."
When Rawdon opened the envelope that the lawyer gave him, he could not believe his eyes.
£20, Becky," he said, angry and disappointed. "Only £20.
Although Becky was as disappointed as Rawdon, she burst out laughing.
"Don't you see," she said, "your aunt has played a clever trick on you. She's telling you that she knows you only wanted to see her again to get money from her." "Do you think so?"
asked Rawdon, confused.
"He doesn't understand the joke," Becky thought, laughing again. "He really isn't very clever."